Genesis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the emotional nature. Before we begin, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. She wrote 24 volumes of literature, and the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. There is a great need today for the thinking people of the world to cooperate more fully and freely in the enlightenment of the world. This depends, as far as the individual is concerned, upon the power to live each day as a soul, free from fear, free from self-consciousness, and free from those reactions which stir the astral or emotional body into activity. Why is it so hard for so many of us to achieve this freedom from the power of the emotions?
Well, for one thing, the achievement of complete emotional control is an effect or a victory of the second initiation. We've talked about initiation on our programs before, and that's quite an achievement for the soul on the spiritual path. The amount of effort involved in it is also strengthened by the fact that very few people are really entirely or even somewhat polarized in the mind, as Alice Bailey would put it. Most people live more in the world of the emotions than in the world of thought and reason. We're getting better. When we look back in the development of the human species, we can see real progress. We've talked in the past about the Atlantean age, and even before that ancient age, there was something called the Lemurian age. And in those ancient times, there wasn't the problem of emotions because the human being, such as he was at that time, was largely just a physical animal who lived to eat and procreate, and that was about it. With the Atlantean age came the development of the problem of the emotions because the human beings in that time began to aspire to something beyond just hard, concrete, outer reality. They began to desire feeling, whatever made them feel good, whatever gave them pleasure. The senses were indulged more and more. And that was when emotion really began to develop in the human being. Now we're in an age where we still have this struggle with emotion, but we also have more and more of a mentality. Literacy has spread throughout the world to quite an extent, and people are much more educated today than they were, say, 500 years ago. So we're kind of a dual combination of feeling and thought.
Yes, and what you have outlined there is the three stages that every human being has to go through and is going through now, which, it starts out at the physical level, and it develops at the emotional, or the astral level, as it's called, and then the mental level. It isn't one after the other. There's a whole overlapping going on all the time. And that's where we kind of stand today is a combination of all three of these, the physical, the astral, and the mental bodies that are all active. And it's the challenge for each one of us is to gain control and some kind of balance out of this vast mixture of energies and forces of which we are made. And it's terribly frustrating, and it's a real challenge to get a hold of, you know, develop the powers of discrimination that is needed to stand back and see all of these forces and reacting within each person, within yourself.
Well, you've given a few key guidelines, right, in what you've said. To stand back is key. We were talking in a recent program about being the observer, and that's one main technique for getting control of the emotional nature, learning to kind of disassociate yourself from whatever is going on in your emotional or feeling life. You can feel, but at the same time, there can be part of you that still remains lucid and capable of thought and objectivity. But that, like you said, requires some detachment and some discrimination. Like any achievement, I suppose you could say that learning to be the observer of whatever is happening in the outer realms of life is a talent that you work at. You develop it with fits and starts and two steps forward and one back, and little by little you get better at it.
And the trick is to realize that what you are feeling or what you are emoting at the time or what the emotions are impulsing you to do is pretty much an illusion. It's it's not real, because it is said in the writings of Alice Bailey and a lot of other esoteric writings too that the emotional body is simply a great reflector. It these energies that pour through from all sources, from external, from our environment, and from internally, from our own senses, and from the soul, from the higher self, all of these energies come pouring through and are all mixed up in the emotional nature. And what the emotional body does, what this astral body does, is tend to turn it upside down so that we think we're looking at reality, but it isn't. And it's like looking in a mirror. You look at a mirror and you see yourself, but you see the opposite reflection. It's not the same as it is where you stand. So that's essentially what the astral plane does. The energies of the astral plane turns the image in upside down. And that's part of the discrimination challenge, is to see it for what it is.
There's a comment that Alice Bailey made, that the emotional or astral plane is reversed. And when I first read that, I couldn't imagine what she meant. But that's the mirror image you're speaking of. Then I began to realize that when we are reacting emotionally, we often invert the truth of a matter. I suppose that's behind the psychological problem of transfer, isn't it called, or projection. When you don't accept your own problem, you see it writ large in others, but you can't see it in your own being. And sometimes when you interpret a situation or a person's behavior, you see it in an inverted way, and it seems so real to you, but in fact, the actual truth of it might be that the cause lies in you, or that what you are interpreting in that person is actually the opposite of what they are really expressing. The astral or emotional plane is really weird. And that's because it's so associated with glamour. We've talked about glamour in recent programs, not the kind of glamour of Hollywood, although in a way that's a type of glamour, a mirage that the movie industry creates that makes movies so delightful. But in the ordinary world that we live in, glamour is that fog, that mist that we wade in, that we find so difficult to work our way through and see the reality of a situation.
And it is like a fog that we wade in. It's the way it's described in the esoteric writings is simply a great cloud that we are involved in, and we're swimming through this great atmosphere of astral chaos in a way. And it's to our credit that we can find some kind of control over the whole thing.
Another word for it is gas. The glamour of the emotional realm is kind of gaseous. And I think that's interesting because gas can be contagious in effect. Poison gas can obliterate a whole mass of people. So can the emotions. If you've ever been in a group or mob scene and seen perhaps one person out of control and how that infects the whole crowd quickly, everybody else is drawn into whatever emotional fray is underway, you realize how contagious it is, just as if we had all been hit by a poison gas. I've seen this happen on the subway and in crowds. That's why you don't yell fire in a crowded building. People panic. And I suppose we have to realize we're all subject to it, but at the same time, it gives us an understanding of how important it is to get a grip on this emotional realm.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, the emotional nature. And we have a special offer from Luce's Publishing Company today, and that's the book, Ponder on This. It's an Alice Bailey book. It's a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. And I especially like this book because I was able to go through many, many topics. And as I mentioned early in the show, it's Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature. And it's so difficult to go through all of it. Well, not difficult, but so it takes so long. So Ponder on This really enables you to get to the heart of the matter and get to those topics that are summarized in Ponder on This. And this way you can pick out the priority of topics that you'd like to explore at a deeper level. And make out that priority list and get the appropriate book. It's available for $16. The discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. So you need to send a check or a money order to Luce's Publishing. That's for $16. Luce's Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's $16 check or money order to Luce's, L-U-C-I-S, Luce's Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We appreciate the support you've given us in the past, and we hope you to continue to donate money to Luce's Trust. That's how we can remain on the air. We love this station. We enjoy being on it, but we do need your continued support. So any donations that you want to make to us, send them to Luce's Trust, L-U-C-I-S, Luce's Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We have an archived library of shows that you can key into, too. And the website for that is www.lucistrust.org. And you can listen to the previously archived radio shows on a multiple number of Alice Bailey topics. And once again, our show today is the emotional nature. In regard to that, I was thinking, Sarandel, as you were talking and setting forth the theme for this show, that emotions almost sound like a negative, and yet God or divinity gave us emotions. Are we more spiritually evolved if we are able to devoid ourselves of emotions?
That's a question I think a lot of spiritually aspiring people ask themselves. I think it's one of those questions that can be answered with both a yes and a no. The emotional nature in the spiritual constitution of a human being is the lower counterpart of what is called the intuition. And the intuition is a very high level beyond even the mind that is able to grasp or perceive reality, capital R, in its wholeness, without deduction, without analysis, without the breaking down into separate components of the lower mind. The intuition simply registers reality whole and complete and synthetic. And the emotional nature is the lower counterpart of that. So it must have a purpose. I think in the development of the human being, the capacity to feel emotion is the beginning of what the writings of Alice Bailey call sentiency, the ability to sense, to feel. That's what we have in common with the animal kingdom, and what distinguishes the animal kingdom, probably, although they're not so sure about the vegetable kingdom, is the capacity to feel and suffer and to feel joy and pleasure. So it's a refining aspect of our makeup, but it's also an imprisoning force. If you have ever known anyone who was the prisoner of their emotions, or if you've ever worked with anyone or been in a family with anyone who was emotionally out of control, you have experienced the tremendous power of the emotions in a way that isn't good.
And I was just thinking while you were talking there that about that question, Robert, that I don't think the emotions, you can't say they're good or bad, or that it's intended. It's this phase of vibrational plane that we're supposed to be going through, and it's the problems with the emotional plane is what humanity has created. It's the energy of this plane has been so bombarded by human thought and human feeling and human desire and human craving that all of these thought forms get built up and over centuries and centuries of human activity, and they become just part of the great mix that everybody is surrounded by. And the objective, and which is what the good thing about the Bailey teachings is, that you bring the mind to bear on this problem of craving, and you eventually gain control. That's the whole aspect. That's the whole purpose and use of the mind, the mental part of us, and to use the mind to bring the emotional nature under control, and so that it eventually drops away and doesn't become the object of one's desire nature.
I wonder if the power of craving, of desire, has to do with the fact that we tend to desire whatever we think exists apart from ourselves, outside of ourselves. The power of human desire is that it creates an identification with something that is not within ourselves, but in the world, in some kind of form, whether it's a material object or a sensation or an achievement on the outer planes of life. It's something that keeps us bound to the outer objective world. And I think this is why Buddha spoke against craving and against desire. He said we cannot liberate ourselves until we achieve complete freedom from desire. And that was his victory when he sat under the Bodhi tree for 40 days until he finally achieved enlightenment. He found, I suppose, the universe within himself. He didn't need anymore to go out into the world. He found within himself, within his own spiritual being, all that he needed. And there's an aspect of yoga teaching that's related to this, the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, which are a great Hindu text that goes back to even before human beings were able to write down spiritual teaching. And that teaching warned against abstention from incontinence. That always makes me kind of laugh, because when I see abstention from incontinence, I immediately think of depends or something like that. But he's not talking about that. He was referring literally to desirelessness, to the word for identifying with that which is not the self. That's what binds us to the outer world. That's what keeps us coming back into incarnation. We want more of whatever is going on in the world apart from our own inner spiritual being. Does that make any sense at all? Maybe you can make it clear.
Well, yes, it makes sense to me. I understand it. But I was thinking of this whole problem of craving, and because I see it, you look around today and you can see so much craving. There's so much emphasis, especially in this country, I think, on material craving. And craving,
all culture fosters it.
Right, and the craving for food. We have, the result of that is the epidemic of obesity that we have today. And it's my opinion that that's all due to the craving and the insatiable need for food and more food and big plates of food that will eventually kill you. But the servings keep getting bigger and bigger, and so it's the market forces play into that, and so we're all caught up in this huge craving for satiation, and it's killing us literally.
Mm-hmm. But maybe it's also a sign that we are getting to a point where we can resolve this problem. We're seeing it writ large in the world and in our own society. Maybe that's a point of liberation that we're approaching. There's more and more attention given to the problem of obesity, wrong diet, wrong intake of all kinds of substances. We worry about the effects on our children, so maybe we're coming to a point of triumph over it. This is connected to the fact that the emotional realm is governed by the solar plexus, which is the one of the seven centers that every human being is ruled by, the solar plexus being in the diaphragm. And the achievement of raising the energies from the lower centers, base of spine, the sacral center, which is the sexual impulse, the solar plexus, which is the emotional impulse, transferring those energies to the higher centers of heart, throat, and head is a major, major achievement. And we see the effects of the solar plexus in our mass culture. We're inundated with commercials and television programs that tell us we want this, we want that, we must have that next great thing, we must have that next wonderful feeling. The amount of materialism and sexual content that dominates the modern media is a sign that the solar plexus is really currently thriving.
Yes, and ironically, we have the mental capacity to correct this if we, you know, if one really has the willpower to step back and say, look at what's happening to myself. What am I doing here following this mess, this craving? And but we all have the capacity of mind to step back and use our powers of discrimination and make a choice. We don't have to follow all of this wild craving. We can bring the, as it says, in the need to bring the astral nature to a more calm and peaceful atmosphere. This is necessary to move ahead in consciousness, to move forward upon the path. And on the path of the way between that leads between the two pairs of opposites.
How we do that, how we effect that transformation of the emotional nature, though, is not easy. There are guidelines for it that we can discuss in a future program, but we can begin with the realization that most emotions are self-centered. If we want to identify when we're being governed by emotion, we can look at the effect or the force of it. Is it something that is self-serving? Is it something that feeds the personal separated self and its wishes? Or does what we are experiencing evoke in us a sense of the universality of humanity and the oneness of humanity? That would be an expression of the soul and not of the emotions. gradually we can learn to distinguish how this force works in us and in those around us, and that's part of being the observer. When we can begin to identify that, we can start to gain control of it.
And that's where the powers of the soul come in, because the powers of the soul give us the will and the strength to redirect our focus onto a higher, more refined atmosphere. And so there is it's the beginning of the refining of the emotional nature, so that the emphasis is not so much upon craving, but upon the creation of beauty and loving relationships and that sort of thing.
I don't want our listeners to think, though, that they shouldn't feel any emotion at all, because I think that's asking too much of people. What we can say is that we can use our emotional nature to be sensitive to others instead of always feeding our own self-interest and desire. We can develop the capacity to feel with another person, not in the sense of getting into his problem and commiserating with him, because that doesn't help, but being sensitive to his humanity and learning to sense the soul within another individual who's struggling. That's a way of standing with them that doesn't reinforce their problem, but in fact I think can reinforce their higher nature and the strength of their own soul. That's what true compassion is, and that's an effect of the emotions that can be a real service.
Right, it's the refined aspect of the emotions, the higher aspect of the emotional nature. That's what we're aiming for today, and we should be.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the book Ponder on This, a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. It's available for $16. The discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. So send a check or a money order, $16, to Lucis Publishing, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. If you have any reason to get in touch with Lucis Trust, then give them a call at 1-866-695-8247. The easy way is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.